This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that exists to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you nothing is hidden. So cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we might perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I want to invite the kids to go with Miss Tiffany to children's ministry. All right, as I said earlier, we are continuing in our series called Honest to God, looking at some of the Psalms, and today is the most famous Psalm, Psalm 23. You wonder why, you know, why is this Psalm so famous? And it's, you know, I think on one level, it's we gravitate to it just because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of poetry. But it speaks to something very deep inside of us. And so I just want to think and kind of reflect on this psalm this morning. And I just have four basic points. And I'm just going to kind of go through them. You know, if you want to write them down, you can just write them down as we go through it. But the first thing I want us to just kind of think about a little bit is the context of sheep and shepherds, so that we have some framework of understanding what this means, because it's very far removed from our world. Contrary to what people typically suggest about sheep, sheep are not just categorically dumb. Okay? Now, they're not the most intelligent of all creatures, but they're not the dumbest by any means. One of the things that sheep can do with really amazing ability is they can memorize people's faces and voices. So, you know, when Jesus talks about my sheep know my voice, well, people got that. Because sheep can memorize voices. They know different voices. They recognize different faces. So that they have that capacity. But sheep most definitely are vulnerable animals. They're vulnerable. They're not particularly fast and agile. If they fall on their backs, a lot of times they cannot get up. They don't have a tremendous sense of direction. You know, so for all those reasons, they are vulnerable. They do have a tremendous instinct for following, which can obviously serve them well in one instance, because it helps them to stay together. And together, they're safer than if they get separated, they get scattered. But that propensity for following can also get them in trouble, because if the lead ram doesn't know where he's going, which is actually quite possible, then he can literally just lead them an entire flock of sheep right over a cliff. And there are story after story after story about this kind of thing happening. Literally hundreds or thousands even of sheep just running right over the edge of a cliff to their death. You would think at some point, like somewhere in the middle or toward the back, they go, whoa, wait a minute. No, they don't. If that lead ram goes over the cliff, they're all going over the cliff. You know, the picture that Jesus gives us is that shepherds, you know, so let's think about shepherds a little bit. Shepherds know their sheep. They know their sheep. Again, there are all kinds of stories. A pastor named J. Douglas McMillan, he was a Scottish pastor, And before he was a pastor, he was a shepherd for 12 years. And he wrote quite a few books, but his most famous book, not surprisingly, is on the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is our Shepherd." The Lord our Shepherd. And in that book, he tells a story about riding on a train with another friend of his who was also a shepherd. And on the train, they go past a big field with a flock of sheep. And the guy who's with McMillan looks out and says, "Hey, there are four of my sheep I sold last week." Because to us, all sheep look alike. But to a shepherd who's with his sheep day after day after day after day after day, he begins to be able to recognize the differences. So they don't all look alike. They all have their various unique features just like people. So shepherds know their sheep. And the biblical imagery of sheep and shepherds, you know, it's a metaphor for a king and his people. You read throughout the Old Testament, that imagery is used. And then obviously Jesus picks up on that imagery as well. You know, and that's a far cry from how we envision leaders, right? We don't have kings, but we have leaders, and, you know, we don't typically think of leaders in that way. You know, a CEO or a general or something like that. We don't think of a shepherd. But that was a prominent way of viewing someone in authority in the biblical world. And so that kind of brings us to our second point, which is, you know, the Lord here is described to us as a shepherd who promises to lead us. The Lord is a shepherd who promises to lead us. Look in your bulletin. Let's look at the passage. How does the Lord promise to lead us? You know, I see really four things. He promises first to lead us into provision, to provide us what we need. You know, "I shall not want," green pastures, still waters, you know, provision. He promises to lead us along right paths. Right paths, or it says paths of righteousness. It means right paths or paths of right living. He promises to lead us into those right paths for His name's sake. He promises to walk with us through the darkest times of life, where it's translated there, it says, through the valley of the shadow of death. In Hebrew, it literally means the deepest darkness. But He promises to lead us through that deepest darkness. And then finally, He promises to lead us home. This imagery of being at home, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. So the Lord here is pictured as a shepherd who leads his sheep so that they lack nothing, so that they are walking down right paths, so that He can be with them in the darkest days of life, and ultimately so that He can lead them home, so that He can be with them forever. That is what the Lord promises to do for His sheep. And so that kind of leads us to think about this. Is the Lord our shepherd? Can we say that the Lord is my shepherd? Right? That's how the psalm begins. Right, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And everything that is said after that hinges upon that one word. my. It doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, David says. And everything hinges upon that. And so I think for really this psalm to have the deepest meaning for us, we have to be able to say, like David, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. And that statement, that the Lord is my shepherd, acknowledges that we're sheep. We're sheep. And like sheep, we're admitting that we're vulnerable. That we don't necessarily, particularly have a good sense of direction. That we can be led astray or over a cliff. You know, acknowledging that we're sheep is another way of saying we need the Lord to lead us. To lead us. You know, the Latin phrase that is used to name Psalm 23 is Dominus regit mei. It means the Lord is my ruler. My ruler. And doesn't that have a very different connotation to you than the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my ruler. Sounds different. And I think that's just simply because we don't know much about shepherds. Shepherds rule over the sheep. Shepherds use things like rods and staffs to make sure that the sheep are going in the right direction, that they're going where the shepherd wants them to go. And so, to have the Lord as our shepherd is to acknowledge that we're sheep and that we need to be led by Him. We need to be directed by Him. And really, that's where this whole issue of the Lord being our shepherd, that's really where we start to have some difficulties. You know, I think as we think about the Lord leading us, I think we love the idea of the Lord leading us to provision. I mean, who doesn't want that? We all want that. I think we love the idea of being led by the Lord and knowing that He is with us in the darkest days of our lives. That provides us tremendous comfort. And I think we love the idea of being, you know, someday being led home and dwelling with the Lord forever. But there's one more. There's one more. He leads us along right paths, or paths of righteousness, or paths of right living. And this is where I think we begin to have a problem with this whole idea of the Lord is a shepherd and we're His sheep and He gets to lead us. Because, you know, the story of the Bible, if we read it, and, you know, you just start in Genesis and you read very quickly, that human beings, by nature, we don't want to be led. We're not like sheep in that sense. For sheep, it comes naturally, instinctively. But not for us. We don't particularly want the Lord to tell us, this is the right path, go down that path. That's the wrong path, don't go down that path. And again, we read the story of Genesis. It's like, look, there's only one thing the Lord told them not to do. Only one. And almost, you know, irresistibly, that is what they're drawn to, right? It's part of being human. We don't like the Lord telling us and deciding for us what is right and what is wrong. And you know, that's just a human problem. But if we add to that the way our culture reinforces that notion, that inclination that we should just decide for ourselves what is right and what is wrong, it's just like our culture takes that human inclination and just, if you think of that inclination as a fire, our culture just pours gas on it. And our culture just celebrates, hey, whatever you think is right, and whatever you think is wrong, and, you know, just go for it. Really, I think if I had to summarize, what is the motto of our culture? It's just, fulfill your desires, whatever they are. And do you know there has never been a civilization in the history of the world? There's never been a religious tradition. There's never been a culture in the history of the world or religious tradition in the history of the world that has ever said, hey, whatever your desires are, just fulfill them. It's going to work out good for you. This is an experiment in human history, what we are living. Hey, whatever your desires are, just go for it. We'll see how that's going to turn out. I don't think it's going to turn out great. I don't think it will. Because we need to be led. But deep down, that's a real difficult thing for us to admit. We don't want someone else directing us and telling us what to do. We want to decide for ourselves. And so I think we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. Do we want to be led by the Lord? Do we want to be led down right paths? Or do we want to maintain the freedom to determine for ourselves what those right paths are? You know, separate from the Lord. Think about it. Do you really want to be led by the Lord in all of your life? In your marriage, in your sex life, in your money, in everything? Are we willing to be led down right paths for His name's sake? Are we willing to live the kind of lives that bring Him glory? And this is where the rubber meets the road for us. It's very difficult, but it's an essential part of the relationship between the Lord, the shepherd, and us, His sheep. And so where I want to end this morning is thinking about this. What is it that will enable us to take that step and surrender our lives, to surrender our lives as His sheep to the Lord our shepherd? What do we need to do so that we will be willing to be led by Him down right paths? And that's really our final point, which is the only way we're going to get there, the only way we're going to be willing to say, yes, Lord, You are my shepherd, so lead me through life. The only way we're going to get there is if we can say, I trust You. I trust You. The only way we're going to let the Lord lead us is if we trust Him. We have to really trust Him. You know, I've told my kids, we just celebrated Willa's 18th birthday, so I guess I am no longer the parent of children. They're kind of adults. But I've told them over the years, and this is the accountant in me, I can't help it. And I'm sorry, girls, it's just, you know, it's just the way I think. I've told them, look, trust is like an account. It's an account. And if the trust account is full, we're good. Things are good. But you know, as we live our lives, we're always making deposits and withdrawals from that account. And sometimes, after you've made several withdrawals, you need to make some deposits. You need to make some deposits because you're getting close to being overdrawn. Okay? Sometimes we actually do make so many withdrawals that we do end up overdrawn. And then trust really isn't possible until that balance can be built back up. And depending upon how big the withdrawals are, sometimes there are withdrawals that are so big that it literally might take years to get that balance built back up. So how is it possible for us to really trust Jesus with our lives so that we're willing to go where He leads us? Let's go back to the gospel reading Mel read for us. This is a wonderful passage. John 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There will never be anything that Jesus can do. He will never be able to make a larger deposit into the trust account than he has already made by laying down his life for his sheep. How can we trust him? Well, we can trust him to lead us as the good shepherd because he has proven that he loves us, and he's done it by laying down his life for us. He laid it down and he took it back up again, and he did it for his sheep. And only when we can say, like the Apostle Paul says, only when we can think of Jesus as the one who loved me and gave himself for me, only when who Jesus is and what he has done becomes personal to us, only when that message gets deep down into us will we really trust him. It has to be more than just religious words. It has to be more than just kind of an abstract theory. It has to become personal. This isn't just what Jesus did. It's what he did for me. And this is why we talk about, you know, why we need to be people who are devoted and spending time in God's Word so that this message just gets reinforced to us day after day after day after day after day. It's why we need to be in community, so we can remind each other of this message day after day after day after day after day. Because only when that good news of the gospel gets deep down into your heart and to your soul, only then will you be able to say, like David, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not just a shepherd. He's my shepherd. Only then will we be willing to go where he leads us, because we'll trust him. We'll trust him. If he has given his life for us, what more can he do? He's already done everything he can do. So as that good news becomes your good news, then Jesus will become your good shepherd. And he will lead you. And because you trust him, you will follow. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful psalm. Thank you, Lord, that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, we pray that we would grow in our love and trust of you, Lord. Help us, help that message of who you are and the amazing love that you have demonstrated to us by giving up your life for us, Lord. Help that message to get deep down into our hearts and minds so that we will grow in our love, our trust, our gratitude, and that we will be willing to follow wherever you lead us. Lord, we do love you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please stand?